Shalom, Chaverim. Baruch haba lechol makshivim. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi, Kehilat HaMashiach B'toch Yisrael. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My dear friends, in the year 1875, an amazing discovery was made, which led to another almost unbelievable disclosure, which culminated in a final revelation that made such words as fabulous, stupendous, and priceless quite inadequate to describe it. The first discovery in 1875 was when one Abdel Rasul chanced upon a hidden opening in the rocks between the Valley of the Kings and Deir el-Bari in the mysterious land of Egypt. The following disclosure was that Abdel Rasul was a professional tomb robber, dwelling in the village of Kurna, itself the very cradle of an unbroken line of professional tomb robbers extending in what may be described as a robber dynasty stretching into the 13th century. Think of it, a robber dynasty. A regal kingly dynasty is a concept with which we are all familiar, but a robber dynasty of such magnitude and lineage was an almost unbelievable phenomenon. It is well known that the tombs of the kings of Egypt were veritable treasuries of wealth, gold in abundance and precious objects in prodigal and lavish plenitude were interred with the mummies of the monarchs. Breaking in and pilfering the buried treasures was a lucrative occupation, contemporary with the very pharaohs themselves. To this ancient profession of theft, preserved in a dynasty of depredation, we owe the final revelation, which enriched the world so recently as the third decade of the current century, and of which it was said that it starts like Aladdin's miraculous lamp and ends like a Greek saga of Nemesis. I refer to the discovery of the tomb and mummy of King Tutankhamen. Describing the wonderful sight, Howard Carter exclaimed, "Surely never before, in the whole history of excavation, had such an amazing sight been seen." True, the tomb robbers had been here also, but they had missed the treasure. My friends, in this series of messages entitled Treasures from Tanakh, we have just completed the excavation of the priceless spiritual treasures of the first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, known to us in Hebrew nomenclature as Chumash. In our excavations, we found many evidences of the presence and activities of the tomb robbers. I refer to the specious, unsubstantial, unsubstantiated, unscientific, unreliable theories of the evolutionary historico-critical documentary hypotheses. It is subject for sorrow and alarm to observe how many of our Jewish commentaries, encyclopedias, and references books are haunted by the gaunt ghost of the so-called higher criticism. This phantom, garbed in the unreal and unsubstantial garments of an alleged scholarship, which claims for itself the last word in wisdom, tries to drown the voice of revealed truth with its mournful wail of skepticism and unbelief. As with the tomb robbers, we can trace this dismal dynasty in an unbroken lineage, this time back to the end of the 18th century of the Common Era. These sickening and tedious evolutionary hypotheses have entered and plundered the treasure vaults of God's glorious revelation, the Bible, so that vast multitudes of mankind who would otherwise be made rich by the treasures of God's supreme illumination are left to sit in the darkness and despair of doubt. Moreover, these wretched specters which intrude to scare Israel away from his own holy scriptures are found to be Gentile ghosts clad in Christian ecclesiastical garments. Astruc, with his spurious theory of composite authorship, De Wette's so-called clue to the central Deuteronomic sanctuary, Graff's theory of evolution in the religion of Israel, all these ghostly garments are kept with the hood of Julius Wellhausen, as Joseph Klausner declares, methinks somewhat too sweepingly. Modern Christian theologians are, as a rule, pronounced rationalists. I regret the necessity of calling attention to the tomb robbers, but since we have now excavated some of the treasures of Torah and are about to enter a new treasure chamber, the book of Joshua, I did want to assure you that the light of archaeological discovery and more modern research is forcing the phantom of so-called higher criticism to retreat into the black realms of stark unbelief, where only the credulity of incredulity will absorb its nugatory emanations. Of course, the ghostly tomb robbers have been present in the book of Joshua, but fortunately, I can now ask you to behold a spot where the ghostly robber once haunted, but is now declared spectre-free. Hear this quotation from the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia. While at one time biblical criticism considered the contents of the book to be legendary, present-day scholarship is unanimous in the conclusion that Joshua is of great historical value. Unquote. But, my friends, we have discovered more than historical value in Holy Scriptures. We have apprehended a spiritual design, and the book of Joshua will be found to be no exception to this sublime feature of spiritual pattern. Affirming the fact of meaning in history, Will Herberg writes, and here I quote, "The prophet is preeminently the interpreter of history, in which he finds revealed God's will, judgment, and redemptive purpose." Unquote. It is worthy of note that the book of Joshua, the first of the historical books in the second division of the Hebrew Bible, nevertheless commences that second division known as the prophets. Where spiritual pattern pervades, there is naturally an interplay between human history and divinely inspired prophecy. There is both meaning and goal in history. Hence we must grasp the fact that the history recorded in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, has a spiritual purpose, and this spiritual purpose is the supreme factor governing the divine selection or omission of historic events in the sacred record. The book of Joshua, therefore, purposively hinges Chumash, the Pentateuch, to the purposive, meaningful, historical writings which follow it. These succeeding historical writings, in that English Bible known as the Authorized Version, extend from the book of Joshua to the book of Esther. Before unearthing our treasures from the book of Joshua, let us make an informative classification of the riches already excavated from Moses' five books. First, we found that each book possessed a specific spiritual message of eternal value to us all today. Secondly, we found also that each book is an integral part of, and thus related to, the whole. Thirdly, this led us to observe a progressive unfolding in the resultant spiritual message. Now, isn't this just what we would expect to find in a Bible which, when freed from the turmoil of the tomb robbers, declares itself to be revealed truth from God? As further preparation for our entrance into Canaan with Joshua, we will be rewarded by a preparatory glance at Israel's annals from the death of Moses, about 1451 before the Common Era, to the approximate terminus of Old Testament history, about 396 before the Common Era, a period of some 1,055 years. In this space of time, we must not fail to observe three distinct forms of government. First, a theocracy of 355 years, extending from the death of Moses to the accession of Israel's first humanly chosen king, King Saul. That would be B.C. 1451 to B.C. 1096. Secondly, a monarchy of 510 years from King Saul to Tisha B'Av, if I may use the expression, the destruction of the temple, B.C. 1096 to B.C. 586. Thirdly, a dependency of 190 years from Tisha B'Av to the terminus of Tanakh, B.C. 586 to B.C. 396. The dates given are, of course, not absolutely final, but of the 1,055 years so delineated, the book of Joshua covers some 25 years of this historic period, that is, from B.C. 1451 to B.C. 1426. And the book is, therefore, like a gateway of annals, through which we pass into that avenue of Israel's history which brings the entire Old Testament story to a close. Moses brings Israel to the promised land. Joshua, Yehoshua, is now about to bring Israel into it. Will you join him in the journey as we follow the fascinating and instructive movements of the chosen people, penetrating the province, paralyzing the populace, and possessing the patrimony? I assure you there are rich treasures ahead for us. So be sure and note the time and designation of this radio station, and keep listening to Treasures from Tanakh. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha, v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.